I once again welcome all of you to the Bhakti Sangha Jabba conference call. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So now we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 3 and 4, which will be given by His Grace Sachipran Gaur Hari Prabhuji. So before moving to Prabhuji, I will hand over the call to Sureshwar Sham Prabhuji for giving brief introduction on Sachipran Gaur Hari Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Sureshwar Sham Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji, for joining the call. Please go ahead, Prabhuji, with the introduction.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. A brief introduction. His Grace Sachipran Gaur Hari Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji joined ISKCON in 1998 when he was doing his bachelor's degree program in India. Prabhuji received his first initiation in 2014, second initiation in 2020. Prabhuji received his Bachelor of Engineering degree from BITS Pilani, India. Prabhuji completed Bhakti Shastri and is currently enrolled in Bhakti Vaibhav program. Prabhuji helps in serving one of the Bhakti Vrikshas currently in Atlanta. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Back to you, Mataji.
Sachipran Gaur Hari Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call and giving your valuable time and association to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 5, Chapter 19, Texts 3 and 4. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go ahead, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji,
we can't hear you.
You're muted.
Is this clear, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the kind introduction. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you all for joining for today's Srimad Bhagavatam session. My sincere prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees. I want to start by thanking the organizers of this Bhakti Sangha Japa group for giving me an opportunity to speak some Harikatha today and purify myself. It's a very nice way to, auspicious way to start my day. And I'm very, very grateful for this. We'll start with the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalavanasteva Gatiranyada Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Krishna. So we'll be discussing from Canto 5, Chapter 19. We'll try to read and try to understand a little bit from verse 3 and 4 of Chapter 19, Canto 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नम पंकजनाभाय नम पंकजमालिने नम पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रये। आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासन व्रजवधू वर्गेन वा कल्पिता। श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेम पुमातो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्र धरा न परः। हरे कृष्ण। सो बिफोर वी स्टार्ट ऑफ वी विल ग्लोरिफाइ श्रीमद्भागवतम बाय अंडरस्टैंडिंग वन वर्स फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम इट्सेल्फ। दिस वर्स इज कमिंग फ्रॉम द डिस्कशन बिटवीन विदुरा एंड मैत्रेय मुनि। Vidura, we know in the third canto, Vidura asked various questions to Maitreya Muni and Maitreya Muni was responding. So before Vidura asked the questions, he actually glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. I know all of you are very eager, very sincere. You attend these sessions very regularly. I'm not a regular attendee on this call, but thank you. I'm very grateful for getting this opportunity to speak a little bit on Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we see in this verse, we see what is the benefit of eagerly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse is, Sa shraddha danasya vivartamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsaha hare padanu smriti nirvritasya samasta dukkha pyayamashu datte. So in this verse, Vidura, who is a great devotee of the Lord, he says, Sa shraddha danasya vivartamana. If one with faith and eagerness does some activity, and what is that activity? Some virakti manyatra karoti pumsaha. So when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam with Shraddha, faith and eagerness, Vivardhamana. Vivardhamana with faith and gradually increasing eagerness, then what happens? Virakti anyatra karoti pumsaha. Virakti is detachment. Detachment in the heart of the listener develops naturally. So this is the first benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with faith and eagerness. Virakti manyatra karoti pumsaha. Virakti develops naturally. Detachment develops naturally. So we don't have to endeavor separately. And then in the next two lines, it is said, Hare padanu smriti nirvritasya samasta dukkapyayam ashu datte. Ashu, this word ashu, we hear this multiple times in the scriptures, even in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ashu means very quickly, without any delay. Very soon, what happens when one remembers the pada, the lotus feet of Shri Krishna, then what happens? Nirvrutasya samasta dukkapyayam. Nirvrutasya means vanquish or destroys. What gets destroyed? Samasta dukkha. Whatever distresses, whatever miseries we have in this material world, everything gets destroyed. So that is the benefit of hearing and remembering about the Supreme Lord. So the summary is, the faithful and anxious hearing of Krishna Kada from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, scriptures, it increases detachment from this material world. And then when we remember Krishna, when we remember the lotus feet of Shri Krishna, that vanquishes the miseries of this material world. And that happens very quickly, without delay. So now we have to analyze. Some of us have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for some time. Some of us are new. Some of us are in between. You know, so we have to analyze for ourselves. Do we develop some of these qualities? Are we feeling at least a little bit of detachment to this material world? Are we able to remember the Supreme Lord? If not 24 hours, if not every moment in the day, at least several times in the day. That is a barometer for us. We don't have to check anywhere else. We don't have to ask anybody, am I progressing on the path of bhakti? How do I know if I am progressing? You know, this, every word, actually there are so many verses like this, which are barometers for our progress on the path of bhakti. If you are able to remember Krishna at least few times in the day, if you are developing eagerness to hear Harikada, if you are developing eagerness for Sadhu Sangha, you know, all of these are barometers for us, checkpoints for us, thermometers for us to see how we are progressing on the path of bhakti. So today we will read from Canto 5, Chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. Mataji, will somebody share the screen?
Yes, Prabhuji. I can share. If you would like to share, you can also share. Whatever is comfortable for you.
Okay, I will share.
You want to share it?
You go ahead, Mataji. That's fine. So, this is from Canto 5, Chapter 19. We will be reading from verse 3 and verse 4 today. These two verses, a brief introduction for these two verses. These two verses, basically, the third verse, it talks about the obeisances. Sri Hanumanji, the greatest devotee of Lord Ram, he is reciting a verse in which he is offering obeisances to the Lord. This is the essence of this verse. And then the next verse, the fourth verse, talks about surrender, sharanagati or prapatya, prapanna, prapatti. All these words mean the same thing. So these are the two topics we'll be touching upon today. Both, as you know, both of these topics are very deep, lot of subject matter to cover, but we will try to briefly study and understand little bit in the short amount of time that we have. So verse 3. ओम नमो भगवते उत्तम श्लोकाय नम आर्य लक्षण शील व्रताय नम उपशिक्षितात्मन उपासित लोकाय नमः साधु वाद निकषनाय नमो ब्रह्मण्य देवाय महापुरुषाय महाराजाय नम इति. So here, Sri Hanumanji, he is ending this verse by saying Nama Iti. So here, he is highlighting various attributes of Lord Sri Ram. He is offering obeisances to Lord Sri Ram through these glorifications. He says, Nama Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. Uttama Shlokaya means, Uttama means the topmost, and Shlokaya means poetry or words. In the scriptures, we hear so many times about this from our superiors, that the Lord is always glorified by choice poetry, by selected words. We don't use just ordinary words to glorify the Supreme Lord. If we see any great devotees, when they speak about the Supreme Lord, they use choice poetry, choice words, very selected, beautiful words. So that is why the Lord is called as Uttama Shlokaya, one who is glorified by the topmost poetry, by selected words, special words. That is Uttama Shlokaya. I offer my respectful obeisances to Uttama Shlokaya. And then, Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya. one who possesses all good qualities of advanced personalities. Who can be more advanced than the Supreme Lord, right? Definitely the devotees are advanced than the Supreme Lord, but the devotees also get their qualities because they are dear to Krishna. Whatever qualities are there in Krishna will automatically come into the devotees also. So Lord Ram here, Hanumanji is glorifying Lord Ram as one who possesses all the good qualities. Shila Vrataya, Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya. And then he says, Nama Upashikshita Atmane. One who has his senses under complete control. Unto you whose senses are under control. This is one quality even devotees try to develop. Control of the senses. And this is very, very important. The sense control, if we don't control our senses, then mind cannot be controlled and the purification of heart does not happen. Yesterday we were reading as part of our Bhakti Ruksha, we are reading one verse from chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, I believe it's verse 39, in which Krishna speaks about those who can attain the transcendental knowledge. And Krishna starts off with saying Shraddha. The first quality that is required is little faith. Not complete faith, but at least little faith. And then a control of the senses. And through control of the senses, one's heart gets purified. One becomes eligible to receive the transcendental knowledge. So here also, sense control is stressed that the Lord is glorified, that one whose senses are under his control. And then next, Upashita Lokaya. One who is always remembered and worshipped by all different classes of living entities. So it is not that only Brahmanas can worship the Lord. Anyone can worship the Lord. Whether one is in Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or whether one is a Brahmachari, Gruhastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, whichever Varna Ashrama one is in, one can always worship the Supreme Lord. Upashita Lokaya. The next word is Namaha Sadhu Vada Nikshanaya. Respectful obeisances to that Lord who is like a stone for examining all good qualities of a sadhu. So here, I was hearing one lecture some time ago. We see in the jewelry shop, we go to buy gold ornaments. And then there are some people that actually give their old ornaments and get some money. So how does the store owner know whether the gold that we are giving, whether if it is good or not good, whether it is real true gold or fake gold? So what does he do? They have a stone sort of thing, and with that stone they rub the jewelry, and they can they have a knowledge by which they can know whether it's a true gold or not, or whether it's a fake gold. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is like a stone for examining all good qualities of a sadhu. We can pretend ourselves to be a sadhu. For example, I'm wearing this tilak, I have a kanti, I'm having Vaishnava attire. You know, I can pretend like a sadhu. I am pretending like a sadhu. But the Supreme Lord knows. Guru, sadhu, shastra, they know. Krishna, he knows whether I am a sadhu or not. So that is why he's called as sadhu vada nikshanaya. And then the next word it says, Nama Brahmanya Devaya, one who is worshipped by the most qualified Brahmanas. We have this mantra as part of our Bhoga offering also. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So the same. So this is the beauty of the scriptures. In the material world, the knowledge that we receive, generally there is no link between the subject matters. But here in spirituality, especially in these top scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Charitamrita, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, all of these scriptures, we see there is a lot of relationship. You can read Bhagavad Gita, you will get the same knowledge. You can read Bhagavatam, you will get the same knowledge. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. The essence of the knowledge given by all of these scriptures is the same. So here we are saying Namo Brahmanya Devaya. We'll see so many similarities in the scriptures. And then Mahapurushaya. Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Lord who is worshipped by the Purusha Shukta because of being the cause of this material creation. So Purusha Shukta prayers are offered to the Lord because one of the reasons is he is the cause of this material creation. So that is why he is known as Mahapurushaya, the Supreme Lord, the greatest personality. And then Maharajaya, unto the Supreme King or the King of all kings. We know Krishna is the Supreme, he is the topmost being. From him comes everything. So we may see there may be a greatest ruler on this earthly planet or in this material world, but he is subservient to Krishna. Krishna is the King of all kings. Finally, Hanumanji says, Nama Iti. I thus offer my respectful obeisances. We'll read the translation by His Divine Grace, Abhayachanna Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So if we see in this verse, the fundamental underlying point is Hanumanji, he is offering obeisances. He is offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord by glorifying the Supreme Lord in various ways. We will go to the next verse. Verse 4. Yattat visuddhanu bhava matramekam Svateja sadvashta gunavyavastam Pratyakprashantam sudiyopalambanam Hiyanama rupam niraham prapatye. So in this verse, the underlying point of this verse is prapadye. The word prapadye means comes from prapatti or prapanna, which means sharanagati, surrender. They all mean the same. So here Hanuman, he is surrendering to the Supreme Lord. And he says, Yattat Vishuddha Anubhava Matram. That Supreme Truth, which is transcendentally pure, without contamination by material nature, just by experiencing that Sachidananda transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. Ekam means one. Sva Tejasa, by his own spiritual potency, what happens when we experience this? Dvasta. Dvasta means vanquished. Guna Vyavastam, the influence of the modes of the three gunas, the modes of material nature. Pratyak, which means transcendental, which cannot be seen by the material eyes. prashantam. Prashantam means to be peaceful, which is undisturbed by material agitation. Sudhiya, with purified consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Upalambanam, who can be achieved? He indeed. Anamarupam. Anamarupam, this is a very important word. It can mean that one who does not have a name or a form, but as part of our sampradaya, we understand, as part of Vaishnavas, we understand that this means actually without a material name and form, without a material form. Niraham, nir aham, without a material ego. Finally, prapadye, I offer my respectful obeisances or I surrender. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord whose pure form, Sachidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived only by pure consciousness. Very important. We can perceive the Supreme Lord only by pure consciousness. So, it is very important for all of us to purify ourselves. And purification, it starts by control of our senses. And we can gauge our purification again by seeing how sense controlled we are, by performing austerities, developing virakti. And virakti, it happens naturally. As we perform bhakti, virakti happens naturally. Continuing, in the Vedanta, the Supreme Lord is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. We see even in our day-to-day life, we see some great devotees who live amongst us, but they are not disturbed by this material nature. They are always immersed in Krishna consciousness. They are untouched by the material nature. Supreme Lord is also the same way. He is untouched by the material nature. We see devotees going through so many difficulties in life, but they are steadfast in their bhakti. They are undeterred in their sadhana. They are sincere with their sadhana. They don't distract from the path of bhakti. So all of these qualities that we see in devotees are actually coming from the Supreme Lord himself. Continuing, the Supreme Lord has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. See, again, very important point. Only in pure consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. So, our consciousness is purified only when we are in Krishna consciousness. And only then we can perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. So if somebody says that, you know, I have seen Krishna, I hear Krishna, you know, we have to be careful to whether we should accept it or not. We should study not just their words, but we should study their achar, their behavior, their character. Then we can accept whether one is really seeing Krishna, hearing the flute of Krishna. All of these will reveal. So ISKCON, it's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So I remember hearing one lecture by His Holiness Srila Gaurgovinda Maharaj. He was saying that most of us are not in ISKCON. We are trying to become a part of ISKCON. So this is a very big statement and deep statement, because Maharaj is saying that, are we in Krishna consciousness? ISKCON is a society with people who are in Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is not in Krishna consciousness and who considers themselves to be part of Krishna consciousness, they're actually trying to become part of Krishna consciousness. So we have to understand this very clearly. So here again it said, only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. So, you know, if we see anything in ISKCON, happening in ISKCON, that is not Krishna consciousness, then it is not really ISKCON. So we have to be very careful. Sometimes devotees say that, you know, in ISKCON we see so many different things. That is not true ISKCON. True ISKCON is when we are in Krishna consciousness. That is the society that Srila Prabhupada has established. So all of us who are trying to be part of ISKCON, we should try to make sure we cultivate this consciousness of Krishna consciousness. Then only we are really part of ISKCON. If not, you know, we are trying to be part of ISKCON. Finally, Sri Hanumanji, he says, let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. And let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Purport. So the purport is also very big. We'll go through. They're very important points. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appears in various expansions as stated in Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murteshu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Sambhavat Paramapumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Nusimha, and many sub-incarnations as well. But who is this original personality of God known as Krishna and who incarnates personally also? Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category since he was carried by Hanuman, not by Garuda, and had neither the four hands nor Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. So very beautiful, Prabhupada, how he is explaining that there may be people doubting if Lord Ram is also Vishnu Tattva. Because generally, Vishnu Tattva, the incarnations or the expansions that fall under Vishnu Tattva, the carrier is Garuda. The carrier is Garuda, and the Lord has various weapons with four hands, right? Shankha Chakra Gada Padmadari. So, but Lord Ram, he never exhibited that. So one may doubt that I don't see Garuda carrying Lord Ram. So is it that Ram is not Vishnu Tattva? So Prabhupada is nicely highlighting that point. But we know in the Brahma Samhita it is clearly stated, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. So all the personalities are coming from all the incarnations, expansions, expansions of expansions are coming from Krishna. And especially, it's highlighted the incarnations such as Rama and Nrisimha, who are the important incarnations, which are also part of Vishnu Tattva. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that consequently, this verse from Sri Brahma Samhita, it clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna. Ramadi Murtishu Kala. Although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is Prashanta. He is never disturbed by those modes. So sometimes we see Lord Ram, he was crying, searching for Mother Sita. Our acharyas explain that it is Naralila. When the Lord incarnates as a human being, he follows a human being. He follows how a human being behaves. You know, it's not that Lord Ram is really crying, but because he's taken the form of a human being, he manifests that Leela of crying. So that's why here it is clearly said that Lord Ram is unaffected by the modes of material nature. And therefore he is Prashanta. He is always peaceful. I was hearing recently from His Grace Amarendra Prabhu. He was saying that Lord Vishnu, he is always sleeping on the serpent. Anantasesha with unlimited hoods. Generally, snake is very terrific. It's terrifying. Everyone is scared of a snake. But we see Lord Vishnu, he is peacefully sleeping on Anantasesh, who is the greatest of all the snakes. Fearful, huge, infinite hoods. Just to imagine itself, it is scary. But Lord Vishnu is sleeping peacefully. You know, that is why he is Prashanta. He is never disturbed. And he's not disturbed even by the material nature and the material modes. Continuing with the purport. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. So this is important. Love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one cannot see him with the material eyes. If one does not have love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, prema, loving affection and devotion to the Supreme, to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, when one does not have that, it is very difficult to appreciate the Lord, and it's also it's impossible to see the Lord with the material vision, with the material eyes. That's why we say prema pumarto mahan. The panchama purusha, the prema is the topmost, ultimate goal of all the devotees. And without that prema, one cannot appreciate the Lord. One cannot see the Lord. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. See, Ravana is a demon. He does not have any devotional qualities. That's why he was only seeing Lord Ram as another king, as just a human being, as an ordinary Kshatriya king. We will see further from Brahma Samhita. There is one more verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, Sita Devi gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, Mother Sita Devi, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. In the Upanishads, it is said, Yam evaishya vrunute tena labhyaha. Katha Upanishad 1.2.23. The Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. Same chain of thought, that without devotion, without prema to the Supreme Lord, one cannot appreciate or one cannot see the Supreme Lord. Here also, Katha Upanishad is also saying the same thing, that the Supreme Lord cannot be perceived by persons who are not saturated with devotional service. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hrudayeshu Vilokayanti యం శ్యామ సుందరం అచింత్య గుణస్వరూపం గోవిందమాది పురుషాం తమహం భజామి. ఐ వర్షిప్ ద ప్రైమేవల్ లార్డ్ గోవింద హూ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ సీన్ బై ద డివోటీ హూస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ అనాయింటెడ్ విత్ ద పల్ప్ ఆఫ్ లవ్. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyama Sundara situated within the heart of the devotee. Again, the aspect of love, prema, is emphasized in this verse also. Similarly, in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Etas Tisro Devata Anena Jivena. In this verse of the Chandogya Upanishad, the word anena is used to distinguish the atma and the paramatma as two separate identities. The words tisro devata indicate that the body of the living entities is made of the three material elements, fire, earth and water. Although the paramatma enters the heart of the jivatma, who is influenced and designated by a material body, the Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. So the Paramatma, the Lord, he is accompanying us out of his own mercy to witness our activities and to sanction our activities. The Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. The Paramatma has, he is described as Anama Rupam Niraham. The Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the Jivatma does. The Jivatma may introduce himself as an Indian, American, German, and so on, but the Paramatma has no such material designations, and therefore he has no material name. The Jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. Abhinnatvan Nama Namina. The Supreme Lord, his name and his form, his qualities, all are the same. There is no difference. Abhinna, there is no difference. But for a living entity, the name of a living entity and the living entity, they are different. The name is given to the body. So that's what is being explained here. The Jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. The Paramatma's name and the Paramatma are one and the same. This is the meaning of Niraham, which means without material designations. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankar or no I-ness or no identity. So this is important. Niraham can be misinterpreted. The Mayavadis interpret it as, you know, that which has no identity. But the true understanding, according to our acharyas, is that one without material designations. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to another interpretation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Niraham means Nir Nishchayena Aham. Niraham does not mean that the Supreme Lord has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word Aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because nir not only means negative but also means strong ascertainment, emphasizing. So nir means emphasizing, aham means identity. So the Lord has a personal identity. So if we see the crux of this verse, the first verse, the third verse that we discussed earlier, that verse, it talks about obeisances. And then the fourth verse talks about surrender or prapatti. It ends with word prapatti. So these two concepts, offering namaskar, offering prayers and surrender, are very important on the path of bhakti. If we see in Bhagavad Gita, the final instruction that Krishna gave to Arjuna is sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma shuchaha. Simple surrender, undistracted, undeviated, one-pointed surrender is what Krishna talked about. And then if we see Srimad Bhagavatam, the final instruction that Srimad Bhagavatam gives is nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukkha samanas tam namami harim param. So in that verse, it is said nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. Same way we were discussing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing glories of Bhagavatam, in the beginning we were discussing, where hearing and remembering actually destroys all the kalmasha, impurities in our heart. Same way nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam, when we chant the glories of the Supreme Lord, when we chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord, sarva papa pranashanam, all the papa, all the sins, the sinful desires, the sinful reactions, prarabdha, aprarabdha, everything gets destroyed just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then pranamo dukkha samanas tam namami harim param, tam namami harim param, by offering obeisances, respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Pranamo dukkha samanas, all the miseries of this material world will be destroyed, and I offer my respectful obeisances to that Supreme Lord. So this offering obeisances, surrender, prayers, all of these are very important aspects of our sadhana, of our bhakti. So Hanuman, as we know, is always chanting the holy name of Shri Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Hanumanji is always chanting the Lord's holy name. I know we are already at 8:06. I'll try to speak very briefly. I have another call that I need to join, but I'll try to go as long as possible. Hanuman, it is explained that he is always absorbed in singing the glories of the Supreme Lord, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing the glories of Lord Ramachandra. It is also mentioned that wherever Harikada is being spoken, Hanuman, he himself attends. He comes in a disguise and he attends. Especially Hanuman, he is staying in Kimpursha Varsha, and there actually it is explained that Shri Hanumanji is suffering from the separation of Lord Shri Ram, and he is crying and he is chanting the glories of the of Shri Ram. He is hearing the glories of Shri Ram by the Gandharvas. The Gandharvas are singing and Hanumanji is hearing. If we see, Gandharvas are actually lower in their bhakti compared to Hanuman. Hanuman is topmost devotee of the Supreme Lord. Still, Hanumanji is relishing the singing of the Gandharvas. So we can see how advanced Hanumanji is. Generally, we feel, you know, we will hear only very advanced devotees speak. But we can learn from Shri Hanumanji that Hanumanji is not looking only for advanced devotees. Even from Gandharvas, Hanumanji is able to relish the glories of the Supreme Lord. And it is explained that in Kimpursha Varsha, Hanumanji, he renders personal service to Lord Shri Ram. And how does he render personal service? He renders personal service by worshipping the deity of Shri Ram. So this is important for us also. All of us, or at least most of us, we worship the Supreme Lord in the form of deities at our home. Either in the form of Radha Krishna Vigraha, or Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra Maharani and Sudarshan Maharaj, or Sri Sri Gauranitai, or Shaligram, or Govardhan Shila. So we worship the Lord in various ways. So we can see even Hanumanji is also doing the same. So we should not neglect deity service in our sadhana. It is very important limb, and actually it helps us develop a personal connection with the Supreme Lord. So there, Shri Hanumanji, he is constantly meditating on the Supreme Lord. And he is always eagerly waiting for the Supreme Lord to call him for service, to do some service. You know, Hanumanji is always waiting. And as soon as when Lord Ram thinks of Hanuman, or when Lord wishes some service to be performed by Hanuman, Hanuman immediately goes there. He immediately goes to Lord Ram and serves him. Otherwise, it is explained that Hanuman just stays in that place. And this was the order given by Sri Ram himself. So there is one nice story that is explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. All of us must have already heard this, but I just want to narrate it because it's very beautiful. And it's in relation to Hanumanji and his eagerness to serve Lord Sri Ram, or his faith in Sri Ram. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is an explanation of how Hanuman is very chaste and devoted to Sri Ram. So from this story, the lesson that we have to learn is we should also develop our chastity to our Ishta Vigraha. As part of bhakti, all of us have attraction to various forms of the Lord. I know some devotees who are attracted to Narasimha Dev. I know some devotees who are attracted to Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna in Dwaraka, Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. Some are attracted to Govardhan, some are attracted to Shaligram worship, some are attracted to Vrindavan, some are attracted to Balagopal. So like that, you know, there are several attractions to Lord Krishna, and we all worship in various ways. But we have to develop one-pointed attraction to our Ishta Vigraha. It should not be like a mixture. In the initial stages, it is okay, but as we advance, we should become one-pointed. We should not have multiple attractions. Because if we have multiple attractions, our focus and our concentration and our attraction will be diluted. It cannot be condensed. So that's why we should try to develop one-pointed attraction and attraction to one form of the Lord. That's why in the beginning, we were saying Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas. So the form of the Lord that is the most worshipable is Vrajesha Tanaya. Vraja Isha Tanaya. The king of Vraja's son. Who is that? Lord Krishna. Like that. So we have to have one pointed attraction. So from this story of Hanuman, we understand how chaste and how one pointed Sri Hanumanji is. So all of us know that Lord Krishna is the topmost, right? Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas. So Krishna is the topmost. But from this story, we understand that Hanumanji is worshipping Lord Ram, who is also the topmost. So once Krishna, this is coming from Dwaraka Leela. Once Lord Krishna was in Dwaraka, and Krishna noticed that Garuda was becoming little proud. And we should understand Garuda is a pure devotee of the Lord. It is not possible for Garuda to develop pride. And I know all of you are very advanced, very senior to me. So I may say a few things that may be inappropriate. So please forgive me. I'm just speaking based on whatever I've heard and based on my understanding. It's not actually even what I heard. Definitely I heard, but again, I can only assimilate or capture in my heart what I understand with my limitation. So I'm just speaking out of my understanding. So please forgive me if I speak anything inappropriate, but please bless me, because without blessings of devotees, there is no way I know I can be purified and I can speak properly. So, Sri Krishna, he noticed that Garuda was developing some pride. And this whole Leela, Krishna manifests all Leela so that we can learn something. We should never be distracted or deviated or confused, or we should never misinterpret these leelas. If we think that Garuda is pride, then we will fall. Garuda is proud, then we will fall down. Same way in Indra also, with Indra also. Same way with Jaya Vijaya also. All the devotees, you know, Rudrasur, all the great personalities that we hear and we learn from, we should understand that Krishna is manifesting these leelas only so that we can learn something from them. Same way with Arjuna also. Arjuna was the greatest devotee of the Lord. It is explained that when Arjuna came to visit Lord Krishna, Arjuna, once he was taking rest, and when Arjuna was sleeping, he was chanting Lord Krishna's name. Not just from his mouth. Actually, the name Krishna was coming from all the body parts of Arjuna. Arjuna is such a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Now we see in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we see as if Arjuna was confused. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava. He became miserly. Krishna rebukes Arjuna. So we cannot think that how come Arjuna, maybe Arjuna is not a real pure devotee. We cannot think like that. Arjuna is greatest devotee of the Lord. But Krishna, just so that he can speak Bhagavad Gita, for the welfare of humanity, for the welfare of future generations, forever, Krishna takes the opportunity to put Arjuna in moha, in illusion, so that Arjuna will give a chance to Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita. Same way with Jaya Vijaya, same way with Indra, same way with Garuda also. So Garuda, Krishna felt that Garuda was becoming little proud. So Krishna wanted to teach a lesson to Garuda. So Krishna called Garuda and he said, "Oh, my dear Garuda, go to Kimpurusha Varsha and call Hanuman. I want to give him some instruction. So please go call Hanuman." So then Garuda, being a faithful servant of Lord Krishna, always eager to serve Lord Krishna, always eager to carry and implement the instructions of Lord Krishna, he immediately flies to Kimpurusha Varsha. Within a moment, he reaches Kimpurusha Varsha and he approaches Hanuman, where Hanuman is in deep meditation, singing, remembering, glorifying Sri Ramachandra, with tears flowing from his eyes constantly. Garuda approaches Hanuman and he tells Hanuman that, "Oh Hanuman, Lord Krishna in Dwaraka wants to see you. So can you please come immediately? Don't make any delay. Please come immediately." But Hanumanji was absorbed in deep meditation. He heard Garuda, but he did not pay attention. Why? Because how did Garuda introduce, how did Garuda convey the instruction? Garuda said, "Krishna, who is the king of the Yadu dynasty, who is the supreme of Yadu dynasty, wants to see you." So Hanuman is Rama Bhakta. He is one-pointed, undeviated Rama Bhakta. So when Hanuman heard that Krishna in Dwaraka wanted to see him, Hanuman did not pay any attention. He did not hear at all, actually. He did not hear. I mean, though he heard, but it did not register. See, sometimes when we are, let's say, in the middle of some very important work, others may be talking around us, but we will not capture what they are talking. I experience this a lot, especially when I'm working, when there is a, let's say, a production bug, or when there is an escalation or something like that, you know, when there's an important meeting, people may be around me, kids may be around me talking, you know, playing or whatever, but there is no disturbance. But unfortunately, when I chant, there is always disturbance. Though there are no people around me, I still am disturbed. So that's the fallen situation that I'm in. But I'm hoping and praying that by the mercy of devotees, by the blessing of all the devotees, I'll be able to improve in my chanting. So Hanuman here, because of his meditation, though he heard Garuda, but it did not register in his heart. He did not pay attention. So Garuda was disturbed. I am the carrier of Vishnu. I am the carrier of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord travels only through me. And this Hanuman, just a monkey, he is not even hearing my instruction. He is not even acknowledging my instruction. And that too, the instruction is coming from the Supreme Lord. He is not paying attention. Garuda was very disturbed. And he became very angry. This Hanumanji realized. Hanuman did not open his eyes, but still he could sense. See, some senior devotees, they perceive this. So I know some Guru Maharaj, I have heard that one devotee, the devotee was wearing tilak only on the forehead. The devotee was not wearing tilak on the remaining parts of the body. But the devotee was fully dressed. And the devotee came in front of the spiritual master, and the devotee offered obeisances and left to do to do their service. Then the guru immediately called the devotee and asked, "Have you applied tilak?" Then the devotee replied, "Yes, Guru Maharaj, yes, I have applied tilak." Then the spiritual master said, "Have you applied tilak properly according to Vaishnava attire? Did you apply tilak on the remaining parts of the body?" Then the devotee, the disciple, he said, "Sorry, Guru Maharaj, no, I did not. I was in a rush and I did not." So, advanced spiritual personalities, devotees, they perceive, they can see through us. I have seen devotees who easily, just by looking at a person, they can understand that person's sadhana. So similarly, Hanuman, being the greatest devotee of the Lord, even without opening the eyes, he could perceive that Garuda was becoming angry. So Hanumanji did not tolerate this. He lifted his tail, and just with the tip of his tail, he struck Garuda. And as soon as the tail struck him, Garuda, in a moment, was thrown out of Kimpurusha Varsha and was thrown in Dwaraka in front of Krishna. Now Krishna saw the state of Garuda and smiled. And as if Krishna did not know anything, he inquired Garuda, "Oh Garuda, what happened? What is this? Why are you falling down like this? Why are you falling on the floor like this? What is this landing?" Then Garuda explained everything, that he went to Kimpurusha Varsha, how he communicated the instruction to Hanuman, and how Hanuman did not respond, and instead Hanuman just kicked him with the tail. So Lord Krishna, Krishna knows everything. Krishna is Antaryami. So he understood and he told Garuda, "Okay, this time go again, but this time give the instruction in a different way. Lord Krishna said to Garuda, "Oh Hanuman, tell Hanuman that Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman are waiting for you. They have some service for you. Please come." Now this is the instruction that Krishna gave to Garuda to communicate to Hanuman. So immediately Garuda went to Kimpurusha Varsha and communicated the message. And this time, as soon as Hanuman heard this message, Hanuman immediately got up. Within a moment, he jumped and he reached Dwaraka. And when he reached Dwaraka, there, Krishna was ready. Krishna transformed himself into Lord Ram. And Krishna requested before itself, Krishna requested Shri Balaramji to transfer into Lakshman. And then he approached, he requested Satyabhama to transfer into Sita Devi. But our acharyas explained that she could not do that. Satyabhama could not transform herself into Mother Sita. So Krishna had to request Mother Rukmini to transfer into Sita Devi, which she agreed. So Krishna, Balaram, Rukmini were standing there as Ram, Lakshman, Sita in Dwarka. So as soon as Hanuman came there, he saw this, he got this darshan, and he was very happy. He was in bliss seeing this darshan, and he fell at their lotus feet and offered his obeisances and offered prayers. So with this, the Lord was very pleased, and as usual, the Lord blessed Sri Hanumanji. With this we see that Hanumanji has one-pointed, focused surrender to Lord Ram. He is not mixed. Though essentially every incarnation is Krishna himself, but there is slight variation. Everything is emanating from Krishna, but there is slight variation. So this is one important characteristic that we have to learn from Hanuman, that he is chaste. He is totally sold out to Sri Ram. We see the same examples in Chaitanya Leela also. Anupam, who is the brother of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, is also a staunch devotee of Lord Ram. And same way, Murari Gupta, who is none other than incarnation of Hanuman, is also, even in Chaitanya Leela also we observe that he continues to be a staunch devotee of Lord Ram. And once, when there was an attempt to, you know, transform them to take Krishna Bhakti, they were actually ready to give up their life. No, that was their affection or attachment to the form of Lord Ram. And this path of bhakti is so strong that as we progress on the path of bhakti, we get more and more condensed in our bhakti. Initially, we start off with worshipping various aspects, various forms of the Lord. But as we progress, one attachment, one type of relationship develops in our heart, and we should stay strong, and we should develop that particular relationship that is developing in our heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally tried to convince Murari Gupta also, but it did not work out. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually glorifies at the end of that pastime. I don't want to go into that pastime because of short of time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually glorifies Murari Gupta for his one-pointed devotion to Lord Sri Ram. So in these two verses, the main thing that we learn is offering of obeisances and surrender. And in the first verse, we also see that Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. The Bija Mantra Om is being used to glorify the Supreme Lord. We see Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Pranavas Sarva Vedeshu, that among all the Vedic mantras, O Arjuna, I am the Om, the syllable Om. So I know we are running out of time. I want to talk on the topic of surrender also briefly, because it's that is one topic that is very dear to my heart, and it's very important for all of us as devotees. I like the topic, but I'm not matured in the topic of surrender. But I'm hoping that speaking on the topic of surrender, maybe I can develop a little bit surrender in my heart. So it is explained that the surrender is very, very important for us as sadhakas. If we see, most of us or many of us have been on the path of bhakti for a good amount of time. Some of us maybe days, months, years, and maybe decades also. But then we still feel that there is something lacking. There are devotees that say, I've been chanting for so many years, but still I'm not getting the taste. I don't even feel like chanting. Some devotees, they say, that chanting 16 rounds also is very difficult. It's a laborious task. We feel that our anarthas are not going away. Our anarthas are only just building. We feel we are not able to make progress, you know. So why our mind is also always disturbing us? We are not able to control our senses. All of these are important for us. If you want to make progress, all of these are important. So why is this happening? And the reason for this is explained in various places in the scriptures. Any scriptures that you take, if you study attentively, the reason behind this is clearly given. And one example of this is mentioned in the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava in Canto 11. In that, Krishna, while instructing Uddhava, Krishna says that, "O Uddhava, if one does not surrender himself to me, to Krishna, if one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, and if he does not have his mind and senses under control, then such a person, all of his spiritual vows, the austerities that he performs, the charity that he performs, all of these just flow away." And the example that Krishna gives there is, let's say if you put water in a clay pot which is not baked. See, generally when the clay pot is made, those coming from India, we know this very clearly, that the clay pot, when the pot is made out of clay, it is first baked. It is put in fire. And when it is put in fire, it becomes hard. It solidifies. And then after that, when we put water in the clay pot, then the water does not seep through. The water does not leak. Right? So same way, if we are not surrendered, then Krishna says that all the spiritual vows, all the austerities, all the charities that we perform, they just flow away. So if we don't understand the process of surrender, and if we don't implement the process of surrender, then, you know, potentially whatever we are doing, all of it is just going waste. So that is why the process of surrender, at least the understanding of surrender, is very, very important. We have to surrender ourselves to Sri Krishna. And that process of surrender is called Sharanagati. So I will briefly, very quickly talk about Sharanagati. I know all of you know very clearly about it, but just for my purification, I will quickly speak about Sharanagati. And even if we see Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur also has composed several compositions, especially on this topic of Sharanagati. There is a book of prayers on Sharanagati. And one of the prayers he mentions that Sharanga Sharanagati Hoibe Jahar Tahara Pradhana Sune Srinanda Kumar. So wherever there is Sharanga Sharanagati, Sharanagati has six limbs, Shad Anga, six limbs. Sharanga Sharanagati Hoibe Jahar, wherever there is Sharanga Sharanagati, wherever there is Sharanagati, the six limbs of Sharanagati observed, what happens? Tahara Pradhana Sune Srinanda Kumar. There, or for such a person, the prayers of such a person are heard by Sri Nanda Kumar, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna. So that means, even for our prayers to be heard, Pradhana Sune, even for our prayers to be heard, Shadanga Sharanagati is very important. And again, it is very difficult to become perfect in any limb of bhakti. But what Krishna sees is whether we are inclined, whether we are favorable, whether we are trying to practice this process of Sharanagati. So, quickly, what is Sharanagati? Sharanagati is a process. It is a knowledge. It is a way by which we can surrender ourselves to Krishna. I was hearing one brahmachari from one Prabhuji from Radha Gopinath, long back I heard, I do not recollect his name, he was saying, Sharanagati means surrender. If we split surrender, it means sir under. That means we are under a sir, a superior. And who is the topmost superior? That is Krishna. So being under, being submissive, being following a superior is surrender. Another way, this Sharanagati is referred to the Supreme Lord specifically, but another word is Anugatya. Anugatya means to be under a devotee. That is also Sharanagati. So what does Sharanagati mean? We can take an example. Let's say I am working for a company A. So how can I call myself to be an employee of company A? I can call myself to be an employee of company A when I follow the rules, the policies that are established by the company. I cannot just call myself an employee of company A if I don't follow the rules, right? If I don't follow the rules, immediately I will be laid off. And definitely I cannot claim myself to be an employee. So for us to claim ourselves to be a devotee, we should be devoted. We should specifically follow the rules of Sharanagati. And as we heard from the 11th canto, Uddhava instructions to Uddhava, if we don't follow Sharanagati, if we don't follow the process of Sharanagati, then the result of our seva, the result of our chanting, you know, there will be effect, but it will not be 100%. It will be very minimal. And it's like putting dirty water in a cup and also putting pure water. What happens if we continue to put dirty water? The water will never get purified. So that's why it's very important that, especially this process of Sharanagati, we should study how much we are imbibing that in our life. Even in Harinam Chintamani also, it is said that if one does not follow the limbs of Sharanagati, then such a person will continue to stay in the concept of I, body, me, mind. You know, all of this will just grow in such a person. Such a person just identifies with the body. He cannot progress in the path of bhakti. So that's why Sharanagati is very important, which is what Sri Hanumanji is prapadye. He is mentioning in the verse 4. And very quickly, Sharanagati has 6 limbs. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Goswamis have very elaborately spoken on this. And the 6 limbs of Sharanagati, I know I heard that devotees are even studying Nectar of Instruction. So this verse is in Nectar of Instruction also. The verse says, Anukulasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Varjanam Rakshishyati Iti Vishwaso Goptrutve Varanam Tada Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Shadvida Sharanagati. So what is this? Sharanagati, first is Anukulyasya Sankalpa. We have to take Sankalpa. We have to take a vow to do only those that are Anukul to Bhakti. Once the things that are Anukul to Bhakti. Anything that is favorable to devotional service, we should accept. Anything that is not favorable, we should give up. So for example, very easy example is internet, social media. You know, it is very easy. I was hearing once, one superior was saying that Maya in Kali Yuga specifically, especially in this age, it is very easy to defeat devotees. Just in the form of a phone, a small phone, Maya comes through the phone in various forms. YouTube, WhatsApp, Facebook, Telegram, Instagram. I'm not on this network, so I don't know much what are all there. But all of these are very easy to distract us. So it's very easy for Maya to distract. So we have to be very careful at every step of our life. We have to study, is this activity that I'm doing, is this anukul to my bhakti? Is it favorable to my bhakti? If it is not favorable, I should give up. So let's say if we know internet browsing is not good, it is not favorable to our bhakti. But if we continue to do internet browsing, then what happens? We will waste our time. And if we waste our time, we will not be able to chant our fixed set of rounds. We will not be able to do more sadhana. So that's why it's very important. Every activity, every thought, every moment, we have to analyze whether whatever I am doing at this point of time, is it favorable to me? Again, I'm not doing this, but I'm speaking these words so that I'm hoping by speaking, I'll be able to internalize and maybe all of you can show mercy on me and maybe I'll be able to practice what I'm speaking. And then the second limb is pratikulyasya varchanam. It is close to the first point itself. First point, we do favorable things, and the second point, we give up, we reject those that are unfavorable. So these two, our acharyas explain that these two are actions. These two are something that we can physically do. Let's say if somebody is bringing, alcohol to me. Let's say I'm at work, I'm working on my computer, and somebody is bringing a cup of coffee. Generally, at work, they don't bring alcohol. So let's say somebody is bringing a cup of coffee. I know that is not favorable to bhakti, so I'll immediately reject. Let's say somebody is bringing a sweet. In some cases, it is not favorable to me, so I will reject. But let's say somebody is bringing prasadam, then immediately I will accept. So these are activities, physical actions. Okay, so the first two are physical actions. Then the next four that we will study are dispositions, or they are characteristics that we will develop over a period of time. Those are not physical actions. Those are dispositions. Our acharyas explained that those are dispositions. What are they? Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. Firm faith, vishwas. Firm faith that certainly Krishna will protect me. This is very, very important. And this is something we may not develop in the initial stages of bhakti, but as we progress, we should gear towards that. We should aim towards that. We should always feel under the protection of Krishna. We should have this firm faith and confidence that Krishna will surely, certainly protect me. Rakshishyati iti vishwaso. Then, goptritve varanam tada. The acceptance of the Lord that He is the master. He is our master. Like how all the gopis of Vrindavan, they considered Krishna to be their master. Like that, we should also consider that the Lord is our master. We should not think that our employer is giving our salary, so he is my master. My company is my master. Or let's say our spouse is doing something for us, or children are doing something for us, somebody is taking care of us. You know, we should be respectful to them. We should appreciate their whatever they are doing for us. But we should not consider them to be our masters. We should not be completely reliant on them. We should understand that ultimately Krishna is my master. Okay. And then the fifth one is Atma Nikshepa. Very important. This is also very important. Atma Nikshepa is complete self-surrender. Full surrender. Completely. Not that I am surrendering only my car, not that I am surrendering only my body, not that I am surrendering only my wealth, not that I am surrendering only my belongings. No, completely. Especially our acharyas explain, one purport of this is mind. Complete surrender of the mind to Krishna, always thinking of Krishna. And then finally the sixth one is karpanye, which is also very, very important. Humility. Krupa, being always seeking the mercy of Krishna, being humble. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu very beautifully says, he says, Dinera adhika daya kare bhagavan, danira pandita kulina bada abhiman. So in that, Mahaprabhu says that dinera, one who is dainya, one who is humble, one who does not consider himself to be great. For such a person, dinera adhika daya kare bhagavan. Adhika daya. Krishna, we know, is merciful to everyone. Suhrudam sarva bhutana. Krishna, he desires the welfare of everyone. Krishna is giving mercy to everyone. But dinera adhika daya. But if we want to get more mercy, what is the qualification? Deen, dainya bano. We have to become humble. We have to become meek, humble and meek. Then we will get more mercy. And then Mahaprabhu says, kulina pandita danira bada abhiman. So what is the problem with others? What is the problem with those who are not dainya, those who are not feel, humble? What is the problem? They are either very rich, danira, or they are pandita, very well learned, or they are kulina, they are coming from a very high caste, high birth. So such people, it is very difficult for such people to become humble and meek, to become dainya. So that's why it's very difficult for them to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So that is the sixth limb of surrender, Sharanagati. So those are the two main topics of these two verses. Obeisances is highlighted in the third verse, and the fourth verse highlights surrender. So with that, we will stop the discussion here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. So you clearly told about the surrender and the obeisances. So, and how Hanumanji is dedicated to Lord Ram. So, and you quoted so many verses from the scriptures. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Devotees, if you have any questions or realizations, please go ahead, Prabhuji. And ask to Prabhuji. Prabhuji, lastly, you said one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? So can you tell me which verse is it? You're muted, Prabhuji. You're muted.
Sorry, Mataji. This verse is from Antya Leela, chapter 4, verse 68.
Okay. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say thank you so very much for such a lovely, lovely class. It was very, you gave so many practical points, and the way that you explained the verses was just beautiful. I also really, really appreciate how you ended it with Sharanagati and all of the points you made about Sharanagati. I know we didn't have enough time to go deeply into the subject, but just bringing up the points that you did was very helpful and inspiring. And I'm grateful for your class. Thank you for your association today. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your kind words. Whatever I spoke is based on what I heard, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity. I know all of you are very sincere. You attend these sessions, all of you attend these sessions and are always eager to hear Harikada. I hope and pray that all of you bless me so that I can also develop a little bit of eagerness that you all have, so I can also progress in my bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Very nice class. And I just love this song that you have mentioned about the Sharanagati, the first song, introductory song. It's very, very nice. It opens up the eyes, you know, how wonderfully he has described. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, please come. You have come after a long time. I have heard you before, but you have come after a long time. I hope you come more often. Hare Krishna. And explain Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I don't know anything, Mataji. I am just repeating what I hear. My sadhana is also very poor, but I'm hoping and praying that the mercy is always there. It is explained that the mercy of Krishna, the devotees, our Guru Parampara, our spiritual master, it is always there. The more we open, the more we become a patra, you know, we will receive it. So I pray that you all bless me so that I can, you know, get a lot of mercy.
Yes, Prabhuji, I do desire that you go on describing the Lord devotee's mercy, Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, and Gauranga Lita's mercy. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Mataji. Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You covered each and every point of the purport, explained the word-to-word meaning of this sloka so that we can understand this sloka very nicely, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful class. Very grateful to you, Prabhu. And the story, I really like the Hanuman story of one pointed devotion to the Didi. Just that is very nice, Prabhu. So, but I have one question. So we have one pointed devotion to one deity, but we as a devotee of, in ISKCON, we do worship Gaur Nithai, we do worship Govardhan, we do worship Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So how do we understand? Like Hanuman is like always, he's fixed, right? But in our case, it is not like that. We have everybody in our altar. So how do I focus? I mean, how do I develop that kind of thing in my personal life?
Sure, Mataji. So I've heard this question before, Mataji, and I've heard the response also from our superiors. It is explained that we see everything in relation to Krishna. Mahaprabhu also, there is one beautiful verse. I'm not able to recollect it fully, but it says something like, Stavara jangama deke na deke na deke tara murti sarvatra some nija ishta spurti or something like that. I'm not able to recollect that verse, Mataji. So Mahaprabhu, when he sees anything, he's only seeing Krishna.
Ishta deva murti.
Ishta Deva Murti. Thank you, Mataji. So, whatever Mahaprabhu is seeing, he is seeing Krishna only. So, for example, when we worship Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra Maharani and Sudarshan Maharaj, how do we worship? We worship him as Krishna. Krishna who is in separation of Srimati Radharani. Right? So, that is how it is still Krishna only. And then, Gaur Nithai also. Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna himself. But he comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani as a devotee. So when we, and Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. And what is Nityananda Prabhu doing? Nityananda Prabhu is taking us, those who are surrendered to the Guru, and he is submitting us to Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost devotee. So we have to understand this underlying connectivity, then we will always remember and worship Krishna only. Though we may worship Krishna in various forms, ultimately we are worshipping Krishna only if we have this understanding. Even Shaligram Shila also, there are a lot of devotees that worship Shaligram Shila. Shaligram Shila is none other than Krishna himself. So when we worship, if we worship Shaligram Shila as Vishnumurti, then that's a different bhav altogether. But if we worship Shaligram Shila as Lord Krishna himself, then that's a different bhava. Same way with Govardhan Shila also. How are we worshipping Govardhan Shila? If we are remembering Vrindavan, if we are remembering the pastimes that Lord Krishna performed, Lord Krishna, Radharani, the Gopas, Gopis, the cows, the forests, the peacocks, the birds, the lakes, ponds, rivers, you know, all of this, if we remember, and in that way when we worship Govardhan, then our worship is to Krishna only. So the underlying concept should be clear in our heart, then it is fine, Mataji. But ultimately we have to be careful. That's the main thing. We can easily get distracted, we can easily get diluted, we can easily get diverted. like Narasimhadev. You know, Narasimhadev, the devotees that like Narasimhadev, and Srila Prabhupada himself said we should worship Narasimhadev for protection. But we have to understand that who is Narasimhadev? Narasimhadev is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna himself, he is coming as Narasimhadev, but he is highlighting certain aspects of himself. So that we have to remember. We should not say that, you know, I am praying to Narasimhadev for my protection because he is powerful. It is a true statement, but we have to understand that is Krishna himself. Narasimhadev is not an independent, I'm not getting the right word, but it's not like he's a different personality. Narasimhadev is nothing but Krishna himself manifesting certain attributes. Lord Vishnu also is Krishna himself, but manifesting certain attributes so that he can attract devotees of that particular mood. So in a university, there are so many branches. Medical science, computer science, arts, mechanical, civil, so many branches. So why is that? Because there are people with different mindset. Some want to become an architect, civil architect, mechanical engineer. So that is why the university tries to serve, cater to different kinds of people. So same way, Krishna's ultimate goal is to take us back. So for that, Krishna manifests in various ways to attract us. So it does not mean that worship of Narasimhadev is less. So these things, we should be very careful. We should not disrespect, or we have to be very careful, because this is a very slippery slope and we can definitely commit aparads. So we have to be very careful. But our worship is to Vrajeshatanaya. That is the topmost. Hopefully I explained properly, Mataji. It is a very difficult question that you have asked, but I have tried to speak few things.
I understand.
Is you more.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I understood. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So, devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead. So, if no more questions or realizations, we can.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Mr. Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for coming on the call and giving your association.